you beautiful spirits. You are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM on your dial, and live streaming online at WAIF883.org. Our show is Inner Divinity, and we're here every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. to give you tools and hopefully inspire you to live a better life, to discover and live from your highest self, your true self, and to find the peace and the joy that I know lives inside of you. WAIF, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airways to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect those of WAIF, its board of trustees, staff, or programmers. The opinions expressed on this program are my own views or those of my guest. Thank you so much for tuning in today for Inner Divinity, right here on 88.3 FM, every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I am a metaphysical minister, teacher, and author with a master's in holistic psychology. And my co-host is the ever-vibrant sage woman, an ordained intuitive and shamanic priestess. Our goal each week is to give you tools that will help you live a happier and healthier life. If you want to feel more love or peace or joy in your life, or you want to help create it in the world, and you want a little inspiration to keep you focused on that journey, well, then you're in the right place. Spiritual growth is our passion here. We know that each person is a divinely created being with God-given free will and the potential power to rise up out of any pain or suffering. We know that because we've both done it, and we've watched countless others do it as well. Both Sage and I have come up from those depths of despair and addiction and self-loathing, so we know it can be done. There's never really anything that we need to get or gain in order to experience love or peace or joy or wholeness. There's only stuff to let go of, the stuff that has blocked our awareness of already having all of that living right inside of us. There is also a Facebook page for this show called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, and we'd love to hear from you on that page. We thank you so much for joining us, and we hope you stay tuned today because we have a very special treat for you, an interview with Faith Rivera, the woman that I use her music to begin and end most of my shows. So it's going to be a real pleasure talking with her. So we're going to start out with a little music from her to get us in the mood, and we'll see you back here in a moment. Enjoy.
Who are you?
A child of light.
What are you?
A daily expression of that light.
When is the time?
Right now, forever will be.
Where?
Inside.
Sure, know the life
we will stand.
you, beautiful spirits. You are listening to 88.3 FM in Cincinnati, and we're also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. The show is Inner Divinity, and every week we focus on how we communicate with our own souls, our own spirit, our own selves. We look at every different thing imaginable to figure out and be in that flow of feeling good inside of ourselves and in our world. And I am just so excited this week because I am talking today to one of my very favorite singers, musicians ever. Her name is Faith Rivera, and she's with us today. And I just want to say thank you so very much, Faith, for joining us today. How are you?
I am doing amazing. Thank you for having me on this, like, uplifting show. This is what I'm all about. So I'm grateful to be here with you and your listeners, for sure.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, I got turned on to your music because somebody sent me the video that you did, I don't even know how many years ago, the Kumbaya music video. And that was my introduction to you. And then I found out that that's sort of where your journey from sort of doing whatever pop kind of music into spiritual music started. And I'd love it if you told us a little bit about how that happened.
Yeah, you know, gosh, with music, I just came in, you know, into a family. I'm Filipino. My parents are, you know, from the Philippines, and they love, that culture just loves music. So I started singing Filipino folk songs with my grandma, and, you know, I went to an all-girls Catholic school, and, of course, my family was devout Catholic, so I really got a lot of music in the church, you know?
Right.
Everyone singing hymns, and then growing up, I played piano, I sang, and I wrote my first song, like, in eighth grade. I played for every single, you know, weekly mass. I sang the Star Spangled Banner, but I'll tell you, the gift of growing up in that situation is that I got to be around music that was, you know, about love, about the divine, you know, specifically, obviously, about, you know, more about the Catholic beliefs, but it doesn't matter. It was about this connection with something bigger than what I am. And so, and the honest truth is, it's so strange to me when I look back at other friends that have just kind of enjoyed their music journey. For me, I was, I think, terrified by it. I was terrified going on stage. I had all this mental stuff going on, and yet in my heart was this music. And for all the creative people out there, I mean, everyone's creative, really. When you get this creative impulse that just wants to happen, it would just, you know, it forced me to keep going, even though I wanted to quit. So,
you mean you were afraid of performing?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, boy, yeah. Does that not show.
Well, yeah, because it's so important to me now. And that's why I love that I'm so grateful for that experience, because that's why now I am so passionate about, like, the joy part, about being in the moment. And you know what I mean? And hopefully that's what comes through in the music.
And, well, it is so uplifting. And it isn't religious. It's very spiritual. And so there isn't any of that, oh, I don't know, judgment that you might feel from some religious stuff. It's all this incredible uplifting. So you started out singing very spiritually uplifting music, and then did you move away from that and move back, or how did it happen?
I did, because, okay, so my senior year in high school, even though I had a rock band, we had a manager, we toured the island, you know, I even recorded, my first original on, like, a star-shaped vinyl record. Yes, I'm that old. I'm that mature. Okay, so I chickened out of going to Berklee College of Music on the East. Because I said, in my mind, I thought, I can't do that. You know what I mean? All those little things we do. So I stepped away from it a little bit, I don't know if I should, well, okay, I will share this part of the story. So I was a sophomore in college, thought I had given up on music, and there was a talent show. This is how the universe works, right?
Yeah.
Even when you're not looking. So I thought, I'm just going to write a song and sing. You know, I didn't, like, cut out music all the way. I just thought, I'm not going to pursue it. So I write this song, and I think, oh, it's such a pretty song. No connection. This song is called Don't Let the Music Die. I mean, the opening lyrics are saying, like, can you hear the little voice? You know?
Hello, Faith, can you hear?
I was so oblivious, but listen to this. So the song talks about the moment your dream is realized and the sun breaks through the clouds and it's your moment. In fact, my last words in this ballad, I sing, "This moment is mine." Okay, so I wrote about this moment when your music breaks through. Mm. Well, at the end of my song, 200 people jump to their feet. They're clapping. I see people in the front row crying. The moment I wrote about in my song had come true. Ah. And all of a sudden, I'm like, you know, deer in headlights, like, what? And they're cheering, and, you know, they want me to sing some more. And I'm, like, running off the stage telling my husband, he was my boyfriend then, I said, I can't do this. And I always think, like, how many times, you know, is our greatness right there? And for whatever reason, that smaller part of us that doesn't understand, you know what I mean, our bigger star shining within us that wants to run away. So suffice it to say, that was like my 2x4, you know, hit in the head, like, duh, I got to do music. So when I went to Cal State Long Beach, I read all those existentialist books, and for a second, I mean, just for a little bit, I dabbled with the thought of atheism, you know? And let me tell you, I thought, wait, it's more fun with a God in it. I mean, it felt so devoid of hope for me. It just wasn't working for me. And not to say it can't work for other people, but when I sat there and had to choose between a life with a higher power and a life without, I'm like, I am choosing higher power, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. it's pretty phenomenal that you even gave yourself the choice to consider that, because then you made it really clear.
Well, because it didn't feel good. I mean, thank God, yes, somewhere in me I thought, wait, could I maybe feel different?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a choice here? I'm like, yes, I don't even care if I'm making it up. We're going to believe in this thing called God or higher power or hope or, you know, whatever, something more.
Mm-hmm.
I want that. And so really the song you found, Kumbaya, it's so funny you say that, because it was inspired by Neil Donald Walsh's Conversations with God, and the series of books that really started to get me, you know, on the path that I'm on now, just opened the door for me of what was possible. And the Kumbaya, that song about law of attraction, or what you put out, you get back, was simply based on a quote that I was trying to get deeper for me that said, the universe is a big copy machine. Whatever you put in it, you get back.
And
so you will imagine my surprise when I have so many stories, but I'll share this one. I followed Neil Donald Walsh. It was a left turn. He offered a free event to all these people that read his books that wanted to live it in a deeper way. I'd never been to a retreat or anything like that. I told my husband, I was trying to make it in the music industry, you know, vocal demos, all that. And I said, I have to go to this thing in Oregon. And my husband is so cute. He goes, okay, if you want to spend all the money you've been saving to replace your college keyboard, because I needed a new keyboard, go to the weird thing, it's up to you, you know? And I was like, let's do the weird thing. And his contingency was I had to bring him. One, it changed our life. Not only did we get to meet, you know, Neil and all these other authors and speakers we'd work with in the future, more importantly, I met the people. I met people, you know, like you and your listeners that believed in, you know, really more possibility for their life. You know? And so anyway, the long story short of Kumbaya is that it was held at a center. It was the largest New Thought progressive center of its type at that time. I had no clue. And I just, you know, blindly said, can I sing on Sunday? You know, I didn't know. I didn't know there was a waiting list. And they said yes, and she chose that song. And when she chose it, my first thought was, are you sure? Because I wrote it for me. It was so weird, you know, really written to me. And let me tell you, when I sang that song, there were 1,000 people in every service, so 3,000 people total. I sold more CDs in that morning than I sold in a year.
I believe it.
So I found my calling in that moment through that song. So, yeah, that song is very important to me, too.
I still post it at least once or twice a year and say, this is my favorite music video of all time.
Oh, God. Well, and I actually want to make a real, real music video, you know, like with, you know, people in it, me in it, people dancing. But I love that Mary Robinson Reynolds was, you know, created it so that many people could find it and use it, you know.
Well, and it seems like the beat on the music video is a little faster than the beat when you're doing it on the CD. Is that true?
I didn't even notice that. Wait, tell me that again. It seems faster in the video.
It does, because when the video's playing, because I dance to it.
Yes.
It's different than when I play the CD. It's a little faster.
It gets cut short,
Oh, maybe, but it's faster, I think. But maybe not. Okay. Maybe it's just my imagination. But I love it that the words are there.
Yes.
And that if you don't understand what you're saying, you could actually read the words. I love how she did that video.
Yes.
Because you can't miss it.
No.
And that that line in there of, if you come from need, then need will be the seed of your story. But if you come from faith, then everything will be great. I tell people that. It cracks me up. I love that line.
Sing it to them. No, you know what? That is the quote that Mary Manon Morrissey chose from the song when I performed it at that center.
Mm-hmm.
And it tripped me out, too. I'm like, wow. I mean, because really, at that time, I was writing these songs for me to learn and learn it deeper and know it deeper. So it was just so cool to be. It's kind of like someone's reading your cliff notes on stage.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh, cool. Everybody else gets that cliff note that I wrote for me.
Well, you know, isn't that always the most powerful thing? When we are not attempting to do or control anything in the outer world, we're just giving to ourselves. And that's what really enlightens everybody.
Yes, yes. I'm with you. I mean, I think that's why we're here. Those are those moments of exhilaration where you know, like, what you were here to do. And yes, it has to serve you first. And it took me a while to understand that, you know?
Well, it's not part of our culture, that's for sure.
Not yet.
Well, it hasn't been. I mean, especially those of us who were raised very religiously, we got that whole self-sacrifice thing pretty well indoctrinated.
Yes, yes. No, you're right. You're right.
And we have to come up out of that and go, you know, if we really believe in God, one love, then we're all part of it. So if I'm not loving me, I'm not loving you.
Yes.
It's like, that's how I find that people can get it.
No, that was very clear.
Yeah. Yeah, if I'm not loving me, I'm not loving you, because love is love is love is love.
No, exactly, exactly. It's all one equation. I mean, there's no part that's separate. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
And it works, you know, it works on every level of our life, that, you know, what you're saying.
Yes, it does.
You know, the love you emit or don't emit, or the whatever it is you choose to share or not share. Yeah.
Right. So there is a man that I can't think of his name, but you sing some of his songs, and they're often...
Peter Mayer, I sang one of his songs.
Oh my gosh. You sing one of his songs.
Yes, Holy Now. Everything is Holy Now.
That is the most amazing song. And if you have that on a CD, I have not found it.
Yeah, well, I don't have that CD anymore, but it's also available as a download.
Well, I have the download.
On iTunes. You should be able to find Holy Now, Faith Rivera.
Yes.
I
just couldn't find a CD that had it on it.
Yeah, it's Raise Me Up.
Okay,
We've discontinued it. I'm sorry to say, but CD Baby has maybe like the five last copies.
That is the most amazing song.
Oh, I agree. It's a song I wish I wrote. I mean, you should have seen, because Peter Mayer was at this event. I was at Unity Village. It was like a big positive music festival, and we were in these pajama jams, where all the artists are in their different pajamas, and all the fans are in their pajamas, and they roam around the different hotel rooms. Isn't that the coolest?
That's funny.
Yeah. So I'm sitting, like, in a bed with other people, listening to Peter Mayer perform this song in his pajamas. Okay, this is really insane. And fun. But he does that song, and immediately I know I'm going to record it. And this is what's really amazing, is I'm a songwriter, so I don't really cover many people's songs at all. I mean,
Right.
Would have been the first. So anyway, I remember going outside the door, and I'm talking to him and saying, like, how much I love this song, and I feel like such a groupie, and I'm like, I'm going to record your song, okay, next year. And he's like, okay, Faith. And have you heard his other songs? Just, it's the simple, it's simple, profound messages.
Yes. Yes, he's amazing. I have watched so many videos of you doing that song in various places, and every time... What I notice is that the audience, the congregation, they all seem to have the same reaction I do.
Yeah,
that it is just astonishing when you put your energy behind those words.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well, that, I mean, that song for me was really the bridge for me. You know, I had a gap between, you know, how I grew up in this organized religion and where I was. And, God, I mean, to be in a place now that I can love it all, because I don't even claim to be. I'm not a recovering Catholic. I can really sit here right now and you know what I mean?
Yes.
That I honor every bit of,
yes,
you know, love that I got from that teaching and the not love, you know, which has led me to understand that, you know, God was in, is in all of it.
Right.
All of it. So
when did you hear that song and when did it have that impact on you and start really helping you integrate all that?
7 or 8 or.
Wow. That recently.
9. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, which is why if you saw the video when I'm singing at the Agape Spiritual Center with Reverend Michael Beckwith, and he works me over because he knows the power of that lyric, and I on stage, I think that's why that video pulled so many people. It was a real moment for me when I touched my heart and I said, the lyrics of that third verse go, this morning outside I stood, I saw a little red-winged bird shining like a burning bush, singing like a scripture verse. It made me want to bow my head. I remember when church let out, right? You're having a flashback of how it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
How things have changed since then. And then I touch my heart, and I say everything is holy now. In that one moment, everything, every kind of resistance or negative thing I had held about my past religion was gone. Because I was like, everything is holy.
Yes. You know, it gives me chills just having you say that.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the leap we all have to make, regardless of where we came from.
Yeah.
If we came from no tradition, we have to make the leap to really discover our own. And if we came from something that was sort of not what we wanted to keep doing, then we have to make a leap to something new. It doesn't matter. We all have to make the leap. And that is a great way, really, to sum it up, is everything is holy now.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, as you were talking, because I was visually thinking of you're saying a leap, and I got another visual where maybe instead of a leap, it's for me, how I felt, it's more like, you know, those places that we might have blocked off or put on the side as bad. It's more like you're like letting down the speed bump or the thing that's not letting you love it. So it's not even a leap. It's almost like a release so that you could love that part that you had called bad or ugh. You know? And so I'm like, wow, that song is deep. I love Peter Mayer.
The reason that I thought of it is because when I look at your music, it seems to me like you do your own songs.
Yes, I do.
And so I was very curious about how did you wind up doing one of his songs, but in my mind you had done a bunch of his songs just because that one was so powerful, I guess.
I probably do need to learn more of his songs, but, you know, obviously it has a very special place in my life, you know, those lyrics and this healing. I know, you know, your work is so much about healing, and that song for me, you know, of all my, it's not even my song, it's the song that really brought so much for me. That and God Is are probably the leading ones for me, and, you know, personally speaking.
Well, and that's sort of along the same lines, just more personal.
Yeah. So you can imagine, you know, when I wrote that again, it was another, like, all these songs are like my cheerleading songs, right? How cool is that to walk around in your life and feel like in every corner of your life, you know, that divine presence or whatever you want to call it, that ultimate love is just right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you decided you were actually going to be into the music again, did you sort of try to do the whole pop star kind of thing again, or did you go straight into doing this really spiritually focused music?
Yeah, I'm trying to what was the order of it? Because for a bit I did. I mean, like, I was in a girl group. I actually toured the country with this artist on the Interscope label, which was all, I mean, I'm so glad I did it. But that moment I told you about with Kumbaya and singing that song and finding my calling, I mean, after that, I'm like, forget the auditions. Like, I found my thing. So, but I will tell you this, that I know One thing that does drive me is, aside from the spiritual lyric, or it doesn't even have to be spiritual, but lyric that means something to me,
mm-hmm.
I know that I've also have done my best to have the sound be something that the mass, you know, that everyone can hear, so
mm-hmm.
commercial. And that's not only something I do from, like, thinking about it, you know, strategic. I mean, I'm just a pop girl. I grew
uh-huh.
up listening to, like, you know, in Hawaii, like Rick Dees. I mean, I just love pop music. I love Madonna and singing and dancing and,
right.
you know, I love that.
Well,
so
actually,
I'll forever be doing that kind of pop music. So what I'm trying to say is I tried to merge the two, but it was my own thing.
Uh-huh. Well, and that's why it works, no doubt.
Yeah, well, and listen to this. I mean, that year that I did that Kumbaya song, and when I told you I took the left turn and really chose my past, that's a year when, like, an Emmy drops in from who knows where.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what kind of confirmation is that? Yeah, you know, I had won that same year. I won for co-writing and singing a song on a daytime series.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes.
And was that something that pursued you, or you pursued it?
No. It was one of those where, like, I had handed a CD to a friend years ago. Like, the CD was created in 97. Somehow, he called me maybe in 2002 because he heard a song. He's the, John Henry Kreitler was the music composer for Passions, this soap opera
mm-hmm.
on NBC. They heard a song, and they thought, based on that song, they said, ooh, let's like kind of rewrite it, rework it to fit a scene where we're writing one of our characters off. And mind you, this song I wrote for my granduncle, who was in the transition mode of, you know, he was about to pass away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a song of his family saying, like, we love and believe all that you are. You know, he thought he had failed them. You know, it's a whole longer story. But anyway, so he heard this song, and we rewrite it for this character. And, oh, my gosh, the character, the actor, this young actor in his 20s dies in real life.
Oh.
Yes. So now they're going to pull the song. But because of all his fans, ultimately the song was brought back, and it highlights this character, this actor's whole life on the soap opera.
Oh,
this is how what led to the Emmy. I mean, can you plan that? No.
Not only can you not plan that, but all you can do is bow down. I mean,
yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh my gosh, that gives me chills too. So
yeah.
You wound up doing something so much bigger than you thought you were doing.
Yes. Which is why it's now kind of tricky. Like, because now I'm still figuring out, like, well, can I actually plan goals and have marketing plans? Or, you know what I mean? Honestly, the truth, because I'm so used to, like, spirit kind of coordinating what's going to happen.
Right. It's not that we can't plan, but what I've discovered, I really love that saying of, if you want to make God laugh, just make a plan.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and at that point, I didn't know I physically wanted an Emmy, but I knew that I wanted, you know what I mean, to make
mm-hmm.
an impact. And so, you know, it makes for a really nice, tagline or, you know, so maybe people will pay attention to me
uh-huh.
more, right?
So. And so are you living in Hawaii or in California now?
I live in Long Beach, California,
mm-hmm.
But my family and my husband's family is in Hawaii, which is why we're over there a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know? Yes. And really our intention is to live there part-time. We have a son now. He's 3 years old. And
oh, I've seen his pictures. He's adorable.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm really getting now that you can't, it's tough to duplicate family, you know, like his grandma and his grandpa and his cousins and his aunts and uncles. He just seems to be different around them. So we're really, so I'm telling the spirit, the universe that, you know, that's what I'm placing next on my order. part-time living in Hawaii.
So that he can have more of the extended family around.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what I get from the little bit that I keep up with stuff, which is not a whole lot, but I get that you and your husband really have a strong relationship.
We do.
And that you've been together for quite a long time, but your son is only 3. So
yes.
It's like, was that deliberate, or did it just, that's just how it happened?
Oh, girl, there's always another story. Okay. Here's the truth.
Oh, good. We love the truth.
No, I don't get to fabricate my life here. Okay, no. I've been with my husband. He's my first boyfriend.
Wow.
Ever. And without telling you the whole cute story, you know, just on our first date, just so you can kind of know where these stories come from. Our first date, he says, he dated someone in eighth grade. I don't count that, okay?
Uh-huh.
But he said, I hate it when people break up. So he goes, either we go together forever or not at all. And I even put that in a song because that's exactly what he said. And I had never had a boyfriend, so I'm like, okay. So anyway, I've been with him my whole life, right? We've really, like, grown together. And
that is amazing.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, we've had to grow together, meaning it's a process, you know.
Yes.
We love each other dearly. So by, I would say it might have been 2007 or 8, who knows. I heard a voice, and I'm not one that hears voices. I wish I were.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking around in Portland, Oregon, and the voice just says, have a baby. And I'm like, no. And I'm like terrified, you know, my MO.
Uh-huh.
And I spend the next few years running away from that because I'm so afraid. You know, I don't know what the unknown, you know, whatever reasons I have. But I'll tell you, I just felt so restless to a point where I came to a realization in 2010 when I finally did get pregnant over a series of things from, you know, a dark night of the soul to a big realization that I had made a belief and created my life to protect myself that for me to be successful and do my music meant I would lose people.
Uh-huh.
So why would I? So that's probably why I didn't want to have a baby, because what's greater that you could lose than your own child? So anyway, once I uncovered that,
uh-huh.
This baby, I mean, we didn't even really give him a window. I mean, it was like a teeny, teeny slot, and he just came whirling in. Because, I mean, I've had so many different psychic friends and people offer readings that just always said, you know, there's at least one or two souls waiting.
Yes, there usually is. At least.
So he has been waiting. So he's like, I'm in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. I turned
like he's
40
been a real
years
teacher.
Old in the hospital when I give birth to him.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you think you're finished having children now?
No.
No?
Well, you know what? I'm leaving it up. I'm leaving up to, you know, the universe. We're open for the next one. Because, again, you know, we're like, I don't know if we can do a next one. But we're loving Kai so much that, honestly, we would love one for him. And again, from different psychic friends, I mean, to people having, like, visions, telling me about the girl I'm supposed to have.
Uh-huh.
She even has a name, Izzy. So I figure Izzy's either going to come soon or she won't, and we love her, but, you know.
Well, it certainly seems like, again, from the little bit that I've seen, that Kai is a real teacher for you.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I watch that with my clients. It's like the kids always are teaching them way more than they would have ever imagined possible.
Oh, yeah. Just him holding me accountable when he says, Mommy, please just don't get so angry. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, where did you get that? You're 3. Okay, thank you. Okay, calm myself. Yeah, so you're right. You're right, man.
Buddha in a diaper.
I know. I know. So, I mean, and it's a real, I love it. I love it, you know, from a higher standpoint, because it gets me to practice all these spiritual things that I say.
Yes.
Because, I mean, you know, my mind, if I were to think about, like, having 2 kids, how do you do it? Blah, I have to just stay away from how and just be in the love and what that
yeah.
means. And, you know, if this being's supposed to be here with us and we're supposed to be her care, you know, so we're open, you know, and Mommy's clock is ticking or not, you know, so I'm...
Well, I think there's no better way to be than just, if yeah. It is, yeah. whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because you sure can't make it.
No, no. And sometimes you can't even hold it back when it really wants to be here.
No, it's allow or resist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, no. I can imagine that part of your fear mm-hmm. around having a kid, too, was how do you do music the way we think of doing music with all the traveling and all of that when you have
yeah.
a child. How do you even do that?
Yep, yep.
But it
oh,
looks
yeah, that,
like you've made it work.
For me too, you know, and you know what I realized, especially the first year when Kai was born, the greatest lesson I got was how much I had placed my identity in what I do. I mean, it
yes.
got me to really realize you know, am I this music? Am I this, you know, and kind of, what's the word, measuring my worthiness by my productivity.
Interesting.
And, you know, when you have Kai and our decision, you know, for me to tour less and be with him, I mean, by all, you know, normal standards, you know, it doesn't look like I'm really producing when I'm just hanging out with him at the beach or
mm-hmm.
you know, working a construction scene with his trucks.
Right.
It's been really cool to be like, wow, that's enough. I mean, enough isn't even a word. I'm just being, and that's perfect.
Uh-huh.
You know? And then letting my creativity flow in the moments that it can flow. So it's been a real dance, you know, and I'm figuring it out. I'm getting better.
Well, it looks like from sort of the evolution that I can see you're making sort of from afar,
mm-hmm.
it looks like you've really blossomed in the last few years.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
It does. It's like there's a lightness and a joy that coming through you that... It's different. It's almost as though you're expanded through this acceptance of this other being. I don't know if it's through acceptance of him or just acceptance that you are so much more than the song or the music or the album or whatever.
Yes. Oh, you know what? I so appreciate you saying that. I mean, that just, wow, that means a lot to me because... that's what I was going for. No.
Well, no, it is. You can own it.
No, but listen to this, because I know you're gonna get it. What I got clearly when I was pregnant with Kai, and, you know, and all the loving people that shared their opinions and the books, and, and it, you know, the lesson that I got, and my husband and I wrote a song from it for us called Alternate Ending, I realized how many times we enter different life phases and... you don't know that you've bought into how it should look like just because that's the way it was for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very clear, like, at every step now, even, like, with Kai now, like what you're saying about being able to tour with him or not and do my music, I thought, no, well, I know most people usually, you know, it doesn't look like this, but I'm like, why can't I still be creating my best work yet, you know, and being present for Kai? And, you know, I want it all, and I'm really on fire for it, and I'm actually going to release something soon. I'm not sure when this is going to go out, but I'm going to release something soon to share with everyone to really kind of declare that, yeah, I mean, my work's continuing, like you said, to blossom and be even better, and yeah, so thank you. I mean, that just means the world to me that you can feel it and see it, because
that's
what I'm doing. That's what I'm working on.
Yeah, I definitely can, and you know, it makes sense. If your music is about presence and your life is about presence and what you really want in the whole world for everybody is more presence, then it makes sense that being present is going to give you more of that, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
that totally
it's like,
makes sense.
Right. It's like totally logical if you get there with it.
You're giving me more fire. Good.
Like, well, that. You know, I love your fire.
Oh.
Do you think that is sort of your basic personality, or is that something that you've had to find in your life? Is that fire and that passion?
No, I think it's always been there. And I think when I was a child growing up with the music and I was just so not this, you know, the happy, bubbly part,
mm-hmm.
the fire part, I finally got it. This woman at a women's event that I just did had mentioned that Carl Jung talked about depression
mm-hmm.
as being really, well, I think she put these words, but more of a call to creativity. So all those times that I thought I was feeling heavy or deep, I was something else wanted to be born through me, but I took it as sadness or, you know, whatever the heck
right.
I did with it. And obviously I had to go through that fear and all that, and I think maybe that's why I'm even more whatever. Popping or whatever the word is, shining, crazy. Yeah, I think it was always there. Because when I look back now, I would say that whatever I was feeling, the fear, the depression, felt like I was holding something back.
Uh huh.
And now I feel free. Like, oh.
So that was something. That was something that you struggled with, and would you say that there was any particular thing or concept or activity, whatever, that helped you bring yourself up out of it?
Was there any part? Well, no. Well, I would say I kept doing it because I couldn't stop doing it, but it was the spiritual work. It was the internal work. Mm-hmm. It was me wanting to feel like, I don't want to feel like, you know, I'm going to throw up or pass out every time I perform.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was the thing in me that just wanted it to feel good. That's what drove me, and then the internal work to, you know, to get there.
Right. You know, I love how Eckhart Tolle talks about that, especially in A New Earth, when he talks about a heavy pain body, which is what you're describing, which mm-hmm. I certainly have dealt with my whole life, certainly mm-hmm. as a youngster.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that heavy pain body literally forces us
mm-hmm.
to feel better.
Yeah.
Because you can't tolerate, you're either going to die or you're going to feel better because you can't tolerate
yeah.
that
I
heaviness.
I was tired of it.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
And then the other, I will tell you this, I had a short stint where, again, I thought like, oh, I'm not going to do music right out of college. And I became I worked for a lab or something. I was an admin. And I remember I had coordinated like this big employee picnic and it was like 100 degrees and I'm watching like the madness, right? I mean, like all the fun. I'm just standing there and I just had a flash. I'm like, I don't think this is what my brilliance is here for. And it was fun and it would have been fine, but my soul was not, you know what I mean? That part
yes.
was not free. It wasn't on fire. I
yes.
wouldn't be talking to you the way I am now.
Yes.
And so I love that, what you said, a heavy pain body. So what are we now? Are we like skinny joy, whatever, joy starlets? Well, I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's like, yeah, the light has transmuted, literally
yeah.
transmuted the pain
yeah.
body into more light.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because there were all these people talking about, oh, it's better not to have a pain body, it's better. And Eckhart Tolle was really clear in that book of, no, having a lighter pain body doesn't, as a child, doesn't mean that you're going to grow up to be a happier adult. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Having a heavy pain body as a child doesn't mean you're going to grow up to be miserable.
Yeah.
Either
yeah.
side of that
yeah.
will pull you or push you to what's really your path.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I loved reading that because mm-hmm. there's so much judgment in our culture about, well, anything and everything. And I loved it that he gave just another way of saying, you know, there's no way that we can judge another person's path.
Yes.
It is what it is.
Well, you know, a teaching, I've loved Abraham Hicks' teaching, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been my church now. I mean, I think that's what's, you know, you asked what really helped me. I mean, this next, like, blossoming stage has really been because of that
oh,
work.
Oh, really?
Yes, and it says similar things to what you're saying about Eckhart Tolle. For them, the terminology they use is, whether you call it heavy pain body or light fun body, like all these experiences, I love how they just kind of take away the drama. They just say, it just provides contrast. You know,
yes.
It's like, oh, that's pepper. Oh, I don't like chili. You
uh-huh.
know, like,
right.
give me some sugar. And, oh, God, that makes things so much lighter and easier.
Yes.
And we're more at choice, not, like, condemned to only eat salty food or something.
Right, right. Yeah, no kidding. Well, you know, before, I'm looking at the time, and I know you said you have to go. So
yeah.
before
yeah.
we get off of here, I want you to let all of our listeners know
mm-hmm.
where they can find out about what you're doing, all about your music. What are the best ways to find out about what Faith Rivera is up to?
Okay. Well, one, I would love for you to come and visit all of the virtual ways you can connect with me. Of course, my website, faithrivera.com, and I do have a monthly newsletter that I send out, and you get free music if you sign up.
Mm-hmm.
I have a YouTube channel, just, you know, youtube.com/faithrivera, and you can subscribe. And I'm going to be delivering content every single week, and it includes on every last Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. Pacific time, I do a live streaming concert. I had started doing that, you know, for caregivers, for people
right,
at home.
Right, I saw, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really for anyone that wants to be uplifted. And so I do that. What else? Where else am I? Facebook, and it's facebook.com/faithriveramusic. I'm kind of maxed out in my normal
mm-hmm.
Facebook, but I'm really, kind of, like you, Luisa, I'm present really in all those virtual ways, and I know that you especially know what I mean, that there is real connection that happens.
Yes, there is.
Oh, my gosh. Like the heart and the love and the healing and the... So please be connected with me. Great. In all those ways. I would love that.
And what is your last CD, and is the best place really is to go through iTunes?
Well, if you want to do, yes, if you want to do, you know, downloads, yes, then it would be iTunes. But on my website lists all of my albums that are available, even sheet music, you know, and charts and karaoke tracks.
Oh,
if you want to sing Kumbaya.
Oh, fun. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can find my music there. Yeah, and I also have singles now since I'm not touring as much. You know, my last CD wasn't released. It was released in 2012, and that's a full Hawaiian album. So a little bit different from my other things. So, yeah, so the music continues. There's always a new one.
Speaking of Hawaiian ones, would you please tell me the correct pronunciation for the album?
Maluhia.
Thank you, Maluhia. I have said that 100 different ways, I know.
So this is the way the Hawaiians would say it, Maluhia.
Maluhia, thank you.
Yeah, and it means peace, you know, and I know that album is not Hawaiian, it's a little misleading, but I chose that word because I wanted to give a different feeling to what peace meant. You know, it's not about protest, not, you know, peace is something we do every day and every moment we choose it. So,
is that the album that Peace Jam was on?
Yes.
Oh, that's another one of my favorites.
Okay.
Yeah, I love how that song
starts. Oh, my God, you have the rap parts down.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. Well, Faith, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I have enjoyed your presence just thoroughly.
Thank you. This has just been the best. You feel like, I guess we were heavy pain bodies together. So that's why I feel like our joy is just like multiplied. Really loved being with you, and I want to stay connected. So
yes.
I'm going to be listening more to, is it Inner Divinity?
Inner Divinity.
Inner Divinity, Rock.
Every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, all the shows, including this one, will be archived on my website, which is just my name, LuisaDyer.com. All the shows that we've ever done are archived on the website. So anything you want to look back, if you ever have a topic or something that you think, gosh, I'd like to know a little bit more about that, you know what? You can probably find it there. Enjoy your hubby, enjoy your son, enjoy your life, and just keep knowing, Faith. This one thing I feel really called to say to you.
Yes.
You are so much more than the music. And it's because you know that the music keeps getting better. So don't let that get you confused again. You are the reason the music exists, not the other way around.
Oh, my God. I love you.
I love you, too.
I love you. Oh, my God. You're awesome. Can you please just keep in touch with me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
And you can always find me online, too. I'm in all those kinds of places you just mentioned. Virtual reality is wonderful.
I know. I went to your website. I'm like, this lady's got it going on.
Yeah. Well,
so you're amazing, and I look forward to more. You know,
all right. You have a great day, and thank you again.
Okay. Blessings.
Blessings. Bye-bye.
Oh, my goodness. For anyone who is just joining us, you are listening to Inner Divinity on 88.3 FM in Cincinnati. We are also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. And that was an interview with Faith Rivera. Oh, my gosh. That was so much fun. I want to thank everybody who has been listening. And we are just so thrilled to be here with you today. And I'm going to play the song that she and I kept talking about, Holy. And before we hear that, we're going to tell you a couple of things about what it means to be on public radio. This is a listener-supported radio station, and we count on all the support that we get from people to keep this show on the air. And one of the ways that we do that is through underwriting. And underwriting is actually an incredibly affordable way for you to get your business information to our amazing listeners. And so if you are interested in that, by all means, get a hold of me or get a hold of Sage Woman or call one of the experts at WAIF. 88.3 FM in Cincinnati, and they will walk you through the underwriting process. Because we're public radio and we're supported by the community, we support the community in return. So I'm going to have Sage tell you a couple of very interesting things that you might want to know. Take it away, Miss Sage. Thank you so much for that, Sage. Just want to let everybody know that if you'd like to get a hold of Sage Woman, you can do that on Facebook under Sage Woman. You can also get a hold of her through her website, which is Connecting with the Goddess Within. And you can talk to her about underwriting, or you can talk to me about that if you would like. And you can certainly get a hold of me on Facebook. There is a Facebook page for this show, which is called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And we would absolutely love to hear from you on that Facebook page. The easiest way to get a hold of me personally is also through my website, which is just my name, louisadyer.com. And all the radio shows that we have done over the last few years are archived on that site. And if you want to share this show today with anyone, within a little bit, it will be archived on that site, and you can share it with whomever you would like. I just again want to say thank you so much to Faith Rivera. Her music has meant so much to me over the last, maybe 7-8 years. It's been a while. I can't really remember how long. But that music video, Kumbaya, really is one of the best ones I've ever seen. Not because of the technical, but because of the words and the energy and the spirit in it. And she's such a delight, isn't she? It's always so much fun when you discover that someone that you really admire and honor and respect and appreciate is also such a sweet, loving, beautiful person. So thank you very, very much, Faith, for joining us today. I am just thrilled. I also want to let everybody know that coming up at the top of the hour is Disco World with Disco Dave. So if you like that music, then by all means, please stick around. And we will see you back here next week, same time, same place, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. And we're going to close out with the song that Faith and I were talking about, Everything is Holy Now. Enjoy.
When I was a girl each week, a Sunday we would go to church and pay attention to the priest. He would read the holy word and consecrate the holy bread. And everyone would kneel and bow. Today the only difference is everything is holy now. Everything, everything, everything is holy now. shining like a burning bush, singing like a scripture verse. It made me want to bow my head. I remember when church lit out, how things have changed since then, 'cause everything is holy now. Everything, everything, everything is holy.